Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. Once more, we are gathering together in this Easter season. Yes, we're still celebrating Easter, folks, amidst it all. So yes, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We're in the Easter season, and so we're still looking at this theme of Easter transformation. You and I are transformed people by God. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling kind of transformed right now. We're preaching to almost an empty church building, realizing that the church is out sent into the world. Our whole lives are transformed when people are doing meetings over the internet and people are doing homework assignments over video, that parents are becoming teachers, that pastors and church office workers are becoming digital experts. The world is transformed. And so we're looking at how we are being transformed. Today in worship, we're talking about Jesus being called the gate, the entry, the door of the sheep pasture. Jesus himself calls himself the good shepherd. And today we remember that we are being transformed even now from being secluded, like you might be feeling in your homes, transformed from secluded to secure as God leads us into hopefully a green pasture where we can return to some semblance of a normal life. How does he do that exactly? It's by listening to his voice. We, his sheep, listen to our shepherd. So to help us get prepared for that, we're going to listen a little bit and learn how to listen. So I have a short little video clip to get us prepped, so hold on tight.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like, there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out. We can work it out.
That's right. We remember that we are called to be listeners first. And even though the video said it's not about the nail in the head, we as Easter people know that it is about the nails that Jesus bore for us. But Jesus, today we remember, is our good shepherd. Now, what exactly does that mean for us? And how can we learn to listen? Well, first we have to remember that Jesus calls us sheep, and that's a good thing. Sheep need a fresh pasture, a place where they can roam and eat. They need water daily, and even in the deserts of Palestine, even modern day, that can be no easy task. You see, a shepherd will search for water sometimes for hours during the day. He'll carry a pail with him that he will fill over and over again for the sheep. that can't access water. A shepherd will lead his flock to water, and he'll lead them to a greener hill for fresh grass. He will protect them, watch out for them, guard them, tend even to their wounds, care for them, bring back those that are straying, that want to do things rogue, and he seeks out the lost. A shepherd will carry with him often a rod and a 6-foot staff with a hook on it so he can grab the sheep by the neck. A shepherd will sometimes throw this rod at his sheep as he sees them wandering about as they refuse to listen to their shepherd's voice. This is a discipline that can maybe even hurt a sheep, but it's done out of love to protect it. Other times, instead of the rod, a shepherd will gently just nudge that stray sheep to bring it back. Both that rod and staff are protection for the sheep. And life with that shepherd is not an easy one, but it is vital for the life of the sheep. Without the shepherd, the sheep have little hope for survival. They are completely dependent upon somebody to take care of them. They will wander aimlessly searching for water, but they're not really that bright to even find it. They will be harassed by other animals and killed by wild beasts. So yes, sheep need a shepherd. You see, in the Bible, they were often used and utilized as a trade. And that's why Jesus often will use the image of a shepherd to be symbolic of himself and how we are to follow God's will. And sheep represent us. Sheep represent you in a lot of ways. Think of this way. Sheep cannot clean themselves. Now you might be saying, okay, Pastor, I took a shower this morning. I got out of bed. I can clean myself. Well, some animals, such as a cat, could maybe do that, but not a sheep. They will be dirty. Likewise, we as people that often doubt or don't believe God aren't able to clean ourselves from the filthiness of our sin. Sheep cannot defend themselves from predators. They don't have claws. Many animals have defense systems. Skunks have their smell, their scent. But sheep don't. And we as believers are not protected from the evil one in our own doing. We aren't protected from Satan's schemes. We aren't protected from when life goes wrong. Sheep cannot find food and water for themselves. Now this one might even seem a little closer to home. We might be having a hard time making food for the table. And we are remembering that we are sheep, and we depend on somebody to lead us. We as believers depend upon our Lord for spiritual food. So unless their shepherd makes them move on, sheep will actually ruin where they live. They will eat every blade of grass until finally their fertile pasture is nothing but barren soil. Sheep are nearsighted. They can only see what's ahead of them. They're very stubborn. They refuse to change their normal ways. And they're easily frightened by what they hear. An entire flock can be stampeded by a jackrabbit. They're timid, feeble creatures. Sheep have no homing instincts. They depend on somebody to lead them by their shepherd's voice. So that's why we call Jesus our good shepherd today. In John chapter 10, he calls himself the shepherd and the door of the pen itself. A shepherd knows each sheep by name, and the sheep follow his voice alone. Now, this is kind of interesting. If you were to go to the Middle East today, it might be a little dangerous, but if you're over there, you might be able to watch shepherds still today on their hills walking along these large flocks of sheep down a hillside one evening. And you would notice that among all these shepherds, among all these sheep, this huge mass of sheep, that as they got nearer to the sheep, each man, each shepherd would call out to those that belonged to him. And out of this huge mass of furry, woolen creatures, the sheep belonging to each different shepherd moved to follow the voice that they only knew. It was as if they were parting themselves based on that same familiar tone of voice. Today, we remember that Jesus is our good shepherd. It's a special image that we use. And the fact that Jesus uses it when he's talking to his disciples, the lawmakers of the day, is that they would have realized this. They had Psalm 23 in the back of their minds, written way before, realizing that the Lord is our shepherd. And the fact that he chooses to repeat these words indicates how important that really is, especially for us today. Today, we realize that we are penned up like sheep, and there's maybe only one way in and one way out. Today, our federal government, our state governments, are trying to keep us safe by staying at home. No matter how eager and desperate you want to get out and improve your golf game, no matter how much you want to get out into the grocery stores or state parks or get out hunting or fishing, there's really that one way, that gate that's separating us from a life that's normal. So in our seclusion, in our isolation, even the isolation, the penned-up nature that is forced upon us, we remember that we can listen to a voice. So who are you listening to? Are you listening to your teacher? Are you listening to your parent? Are you listening to that little voice in your head that says, I'm just going to go and do what I want, right? I don't need a mask. I don't need gloves. I can just go out and get my groceries and come back. I can just go out and do whatever I was used to doing. There's no harm done. Maybe you're listening to those voices. Maybe you're listening to those voices on the news. Maybe you're watching CNN or NBC or maybe Fox News. Maybe you're listening to the president. Maybe you're listening to the people that oppose our president. Where do you go from there? What are those voices telling you? Are they telling you to be even more afraid? Are they telling you to be even more lost? So in our seclusion, in our isolation, in our sheep pen, what are we to do? How can we move out from these barren fields that we have eaten plain and bare? How do we move to greener pastures as God's sheep? How do we move from our seclusion to a sense of security again? It might be that the voice of our governor or president says, oh, it's okay, guys, we can go back. But it's not going to do the total trick. We listen to the voice that spoke the world into existence. The Word of God that created this world. The Word of God that was in the beginning, that knew exactly how the world would end. The Word of God that is overseeing everything that's going on right now, knowing that it's going to happen. The Word of God is our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, risen, and is your Savior today. And that's the voice that we can always be trustworthy to listen to. That's a voice worth listening to. It's a voice that will lead us to safety every single time. A voice that will never let us down. A voice that says, You are mine. I have called you by name. I have come that you may have life, and life abundantly, he says in John chapter 10. God has given you this Jesus. He has put this Jesus on the cross, put him in the tomb, and brought him out so that he is alive forever to give us this voice of direction, this voice of security, a word of hope. And just like Jesus broke in that Easter morning, broke into that locked room, Jesus is going to break into our messy sheep pen and be the door, the only way that we are going to be led back into a life worth living. Today we go back and remember what Jesus said about himself that is still true today. That as we follow Jesus, we can be confident that he will lead us to that place where goodness and righteousness are eternal. You see, Jesus won't just lead us back to a life that is without coronavirus. Jesus is up to something a little more important. Jesus is up to leading you and I to a life that doesn't end, a life that doesn't have a fear of death. A life where there is no sickness, a life where there is no pain, a life where there is no mud or rain or fear of losing your job, a life where we will spend to listen to our Lord face to face. And guess what? Jesus is that door that opens that way. He is that voice that will lead us all the way to our last day, when he will say to you with his warm, comforting, and loving voice, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the pasture I've prepared for you. You are my sheep." So, sheep follow him because they know his voice. I encourage you to pay attention to the voice of the Lord as you hear the voices around you in our world today. We pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for guiding us and leading us. Lead us once more from our seclusion to a sense of security as we hear your word of truth and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.